بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the explanation of Imam An-Nawawi's 40 hadith, and we are in hadith number 2, and we reached the point concerning the testimony of Muhammad Rasulullah, Muhammad being the messenger of Allah. What does it entail? What does it entail? What does it necessitate? What does it obligate? Number one, believing him in that which he informed. It entails that we believe in that which he informed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such that the person does not have hesitation concerning that which is authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because this is in accordance with the Prophet, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in Surah Al-Dhariyat verse 23, in Surah Al-Dhariyat verse 23, إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْطِقُونَ. And so for it must be established in the heart even more stronger than that on the tongue. إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْطِقُونَ. Surah Al-Dhariyat verse 23. Then by the Lord of the heaven and the earth, it is the truth which has been promised to you, just as it is the truth that you can speak. Man doesn't doubt as to that which he utters, and so also whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks, we shall have no doubt concerning it, and we should know that it is the truth. However, between us and him there is a chain of narration, because the Prophet ﷺ is not standing before us. However, when the hadith is affirmed from the Prophet ﷺ, then it is a must that we believe in it. Whether we know where it is directing or whether we don't know that, because sometimes we have hadiths whereby we know the meaning but we don't know its direction. The duty is to believe in the first place in these hadiths. So this is the first matter, is tasdiquhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fima akhbar, believing in that which he informed. Secondly, imtithalu amrihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, complying with his command without hesitation. قال الله تعالى in سورة الأحزاب 33 verse 36, وما كان لمؤمن ولا مؤمنة إذا قضى الله ورسوله أمرا أن يكون لهم الخيرة من أمرهم. It is not for a believer, man or woman, when Allah and His Messenger have decreed a matter, that they should have an option in their decision. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, he has indeed strayed in a plain error. And this is, now look at this great point of benefit that you will hear now inshallah. And that's why I say, the Shaykh rahimahullah said, it is wrong, the saying of some people, that whenever we receive the command from Allah and His Messenger, it is wrong to resort to say, is this command for obligation or is it recommendable? As it is said by many people today, وَهَذَا السُّؤَالُ يَجِبُ طَرْحُهُ وَأَنْ لَا يُورَدْ. Such a question should be discarded not even brought up. لأن الصحابة, it is because the companions, may Allah be pleased with them all, إذا أمرهم النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام, whenever the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded them, لم يكونوا يقولون يا رسول الله هل الأمر للوجوب أو الأمر للاستحباب أو غير ذلك. They didn't say, oh messenger of Allah, is this command an obligatory command or is it recommendable or something else. بل كانوا يمتثلون. To the contrary, rather they used to comply. ويصدقون بدون أن يسألوا, and believe without asking. We say now, لا تسأل, don't ask, comply. You testify that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, then do accordingly as to that which he commanded you. However, if it occurs that concerning a certain matter, you have acted but in opposition to the command, فهنا له الحق أن يسأل. In this case, he has the right to ask, was this command for wujub? Was it an obligation or non-obligation? Because if it is an obligation, then it is a must for him to repent from that because he opposed. وَأَنْ كَانَ لِغَيْرِ الْوُجُوبِ فَأَمْرُهُ سَهْلٌ. If it is a matter which is not obligatory, then the case is easy. So therefore the second point is امتثال أمره صلى الله عليه وسلم without hesitation, compliance to his command without hesitation. The third matter is that we should avoid and keep away from the prohibitions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided without any hesitation. He shouldn't say, meaning the believer, he shouldn't say هذا ليس في القرآن فيهلك. He shouldn't say this is not in the Quran and thus be destroyed himself. Because we say ما جاء في السنة فقد أمر القرآن باتباعه. Whatever is in the Sunnah, the command in the Quran is to follow. ولقد حذر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم warned from this and from its like, from those who say هذا ليس في القرآن, this is not in the Quran. He said صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ألفين أحدكم على أريكته, أي جالسا متبخترا متعاظما. None of you reclines puffing on his bed. يأتيه الأمر من عندي فيقول ما أدري ما كان في كتاب الله اتبعناه. The order comes to him on a matter which I commanded to do or not to do. Then he says, I don't know what is found in the book of Allah, we follow it, otherwise not. This hadith is reported by Ahmad at-Tirmidhi and he authenticated it, and Ibn Majah and at-Tahawi and al-Shaykh al-Albani authenticated it in another narration where he صلى الله عليه وسلم said أَلَا إِنِّي أُوتِيتُ الْكِتَابَ الْقُرْآنَ وَمِثْلَهُ مَعَهُ. Verily I had been given the Quran and something similar to it, meaning his sunnah. So we say whatever came from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam indeed came in the Quran, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran وَاتَّبِعُوهُ, and follow him, as in Surah Al-A'raf 158. It's only one word, and this is applicable general as to everything that he had commanded. Fourthly, that one should not give precedence to the saying of anyone from mankind over the saying of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. So you can't even introduce the saying of an imam from the أئمة المسلمين عليكم السلام before the saying of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, because you and your imam, it is binding that you should be followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what a grave thing concerns the person whom you tell him. قال رسول الله, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said such and such. Then he goes, however, but the imam, such and such imam said such and such thing. This is a grave matter, because it is not permissible for anyone to oppose the saying of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام by the saying of any one created human. It is even mentioned from Abdullah bin Abbas, may Allah be pleased with them, pleased with him and his father. He said, يوشك أن تنزل عليكم حجارة من السماء أقول قال رسول الله وتقولون قال أبو بكر وعمر. Stones or pebbles are about to fall upon you from heavens. I tell you, Rasulullah says such and such, and you say Abu Bakr and Umar said such and such. And who is your Imam with respect to Abu Bakr and Umar, to introduce him before the saying of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Fifthly, one should not innovate in the deen of Allah matters which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not bring, whether in matters of aqeedah, creed, or sayings or actions. And therefore جميع المبتدعين لم يحققوا شهادة أن محمدا رسول الله. All the innovators did not fulfill the testimony that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. لأنهم زادوا في شرعه ما ليس منه, because they added to his sharia that which is not part of it. ولم يتأدبوا مع الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم, neither did they have the proper manners and etiquettes towards the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. Sixthly, that there should be no innovations concerning the right of the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. And thus, those who invented and innovated the birthday celebration of the Prophet ﷺ fall short from fulfilling the messenger's, the testimony that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, because its fulfillment necessitates that you don't add to it from the sharia that which is not part of it. Seventhly, the testimony that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah also entails, and this is the seventh point, that you believe that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not qualified with any of the qualities of lordship, of rububiyyah, and thus he cannot be called or invoked, not to be sought for help except during his life and in that which he is able to offer. فهو عبد الله ورسوله. He is the messenger and the slave of Allah. He is the slave of Allah and his messenger. In fact, in Surah Al-A'raf 7:188, Allah says about his prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, قل لا أملك لنفسي نفعا ولا ضرا إلا ما شاء الله وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ لَاسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. Say, O Muhammad, I possess no power of benefit or hurt to myself except as Allah wills. If I had the knowledge of the unseen, I should have secured for myself an abundance of wealth, and no evil should have touched me. I am but a warner and a bringer of glad tidings unto people who believe. And in accordingly, we are aware therefore now as to the misguidance of those who invoke the messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that they went astray in their deen, and they are foolish when it comes to their intellect. Because the Messenger, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, possess no power of benefit or hurt to himself. So how can he possess it to others? And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to say in Surah Al-Jinn, verse 21 and 22, قُلْ إِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ لَكُمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا رَشَدًا قُلْ إِنِّي لَنْ يُجِيرَنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ أَحَدٌ وَلَنْ أَجِدَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا. Say, it is not in my power to cause you harm or to bring you to the right path. Say, O Muhammad, none can protect me from Allah's punishment if I were to disobey him, nor should I find refuge except in him. It means, had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended whatever he intended concerning the Prophet, no one from mankind would stand to oppose the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that regard which he chose. And if it is so, then it is from misguidance, clear misguidance, to seek refuge in the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, this is from the shirk. So if someone distressed, worried, he came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam grave and says there, and say by the grave, stand by the grave and say, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, aghithni, help me, I am distressed, then this is a mushrik, major shirk, because he invoked the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and calling the dead to help you is a matter of shirk, because he is unable to do so. He is a body, although the soul could be attached with the body in the grave, however he is a body, physical body. And this does not contradict the fact that he is alive in his grave, the life of the barrier life, al-barzakhiyya, which does not resemble the life of this world, and which is a station between this life and the next one. 8thly, the shahada anna Muhammad Rasulullah, anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, the testimony that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah entails as well, number 8, احترام أقواله, respecting his words, his sayings. And thus you don't put his ahadith alayhi salatu wasalam in unsuitable places, because this is kind of disrespect. And from this is that you don't raise your voice by his grave. In fact, Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, heard two people who came from At-Ta'if, and they began raising their voices in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He told them, لولا أنكما من أهل الطائف لأوجعتكما ضربا. Had it not been you from the people of At-Ta'if, I would have really caused you, beaten you to the degree where you feel the pain. This is reported in Al-Bukhari. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hujurat, verse 2, in Surah Al-Hujurat, verse 2, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي ولا تجهروا له بالقول كجهر بعضكم بعضا كجهر بعضكم لبعض أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون. Oh, you believe, raise not your voices above the voice of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, nor speak aloud to him in talk as you speak aloud to one another, lest your deeds may be rendered fruitless while you perceive not. And when this verse was revealed, one of the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and his name was Thabit bin Qais. Remember this name, please. Oh, by all means, this is even more relevant. Remember this name of this Sahabi, Thabit bin Qais. When this verse was revealed, a man from the companions, whose name is Thabit bin Qais, whom this Thabit bin Qais used to make speeches before the Prophet ﷺ, and he was loud, his voice was loud naturally. When this verse came down, when this verse was sent down, بقي في بيته يبكي ليلا ونهارا رضي الله عنه. He took to his home crying day and night. These are the ones who knew the merits of the Noble Quran. So the Prophet ﷺ missed him. And this is from the habit of the Messenger ﷺ, is that he used to check for his companions. وَهَذَا مِنْ حُسْنِ رِعَايَتِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this is from his good manners and good care. He used to check his companions. فسأل عنه. So he asked about him. فقالوا, they said, O Messenger of Allah, إن الرجل منذ أنزل الله تعالى هذه الآية, since the time Allah revealed this verse, this man, he is secluded in his house, يبكي ليلا ونهارا, crying day and night. فقال, اذهب فدعه لي. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, commanded someone to go and to invite him. اذهب فدعه لي. Go and invite him. So he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "Ma yubkika ya Thabit? What is it that makes you cry, O Thabit?" فقال أنا صيت وأتخوف أن تكون هذه الآية نزلت فيه. I am a loud person, and I fear that this verse was revealed concerning me, because Allah says at the end of the verse, أَمْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ, lest your deeds may be rendered fruitless while you perceive not. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, look at this response. By Allah, think deeply about his response. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أما ترضى أن تعيش حميدا وتقتل شهيدا وتدخل الجنة. Wouldn't you be pleased, O Thabit, that you live an honorable life, and that you be killed as a martyr, and that you enter paradise? Allahu Akbar. كل من خاف من الله أمن. Anyone who fears Allah is in a state of security. He went to his home fearing Allah. ولكن أمنه الله. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rendered him secure. And that's why now we say it is a must upon us that we bear witness that Thabit bin Qais, may Allah be pleased with him, is from the people of paradise. Why? Why do we say that Thabit bin Qais in person is from the people of paradise? Could you answer, please? Yes, why? Why Thabit bin Qais is from the people of paradise? Because the Prophet ﷺ said he was. Attested to this, the Prophet ﷺ. And the man indeed remained an honorable man during his life. وَشَارَكَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي قِتَالِ مُسَيْلَمَةَ الْكَذَّابِ. And he shared with the Muslims in fighting the liar Musaylama, who claimed prophethood, a false prophethood. And the battle with Musaylama is very known and famous in history. And he was killed as a martyr, and he will enter paradise. Allahumma ja'alna min ahli al-jannati ya rabbal alameen. O Allah, make us from the residents of paradise. And in his story, may Allah be pleased with him, there is an amazing incidences, in fact, that took place with Thabit bin Qais. One of the soldiers passed by him when he was dead, and Thabit had a good armor on him, a good armor shield on him. So this soldier took the shield and went and put on it an earthenware pot and covered it. And during the night, one of the companions of Thabit saw Thabit in the dream, and Thabit told him about the news concerning his armored shield, and that a man came and took it from him, and that he put it in such and such place in the camp, and that around it there is a horse having one of its feet raised up. So this man, in the morning, came to the leader of the believers, Khalid ibn al-Walid, who was the chief in command of the Muslim army, and Khalid directed him to go to that place. And when he went to that place, he found what he was exactly told by Thabit bin Qais during that dream. Subhanallah al-Azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far above any imperfection, the most great. Who informed Thabit concerning his armored shield while he was dead? The righteous vision is one of 46 parts of prophethood. So he then took that armored shield from that soldier. Not only that, in fact, there is another story with respect to Thabit bin Qais. He bequeathed a will after his death, and that his will was transmitted to Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with all of them, and Abu Bakr executed the will And they said, no one executed the will or the bequest after his death except for Thabit bin Qais, may Allah be pleased with him. And this is again brings the question, how can we accept such a dream, such a ru'ya, in executing a will? The answer is, if there are circumstantial evidences on the truthfulness of the ru'ya, of the dream, then it can be executed without unease. And in fact, one man told me, the Shaykh rahimahullah, Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, who was explaining the 40 Nawawi hadith collection, he said, a person whom I trust told me that his father died, and that his father rented a house before he died. He rented it for 1 year. So when he died, the people of the house, who the owners meaning, told the inheritors, you should leave the house. The house is ours. The inheritors said, we will not do so, because we have a contract between our inheritor and you, and it is not finished yet. It's not expired. The owner said, to the contrary, it's expired. So the inheritors were afraid and worried from such a claim. So this man said to me, one night I saw in the dream that my father came and looked at us while we were in the majlis, in the sitting place, and he told them that the contract, you will find it in the first page of the notebook, however it is stuck to the cover. And then when I woke up and I opened the first page, I found it indeed stuck to the first cover, and I found the contract. Such things may happen to some people. However, it is not for everyone. However, it is not for everyone.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make of this a beneficial talk for myself and for all of you. وجزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله فيكم. والحمد لله وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه.